So I'm Michaela. I'm a fifth-year pharmacy student at the University of Rhode Island. I've been conducting research for the past 2 years at a free clinic down in Providence, Rhode Island, who provides services to uninsured patients in the area. I've been conducting it with Jeff Chow and Melissa Riley, who are in the audience. Farzana Kibria, Tanya Medeiros, and Shala Yeka could not be here today, but Dr. Annie DeGroot, she's also present. So we looked at knowledge, attitudes, and practices regarding HPV, cervical cancer, and vaccination against HPV in our population. So there are no disclosures to discuss. So first off, some background information. What is human papillomavirus? It's more commonly referred to as HPV. It is the most common sexually transmitted infection worldwide, with over 40 types which can be sexually transmitted. Right now, 79 million Americans are actually infected with the virus, and an additional 14 million are expected to be infected each year, newly infected each year. At least half of sexually active people will have HPV at some point in their lifetime. However, that's not meant to be a scary statistic. 90% of the time, HPV infections will actually disappear on their own, and that's through the body's shedding of squamous cells. So types of HPV, it can be categorized into high-risk and low-risk strains. There are currently over 100 strains combined. About 40% affect mucosal cells, and about 60% affect non-mucosal cells. The mucosal cells, the HPV strains which affect mucosal cells, can form precancerous and cancerous cells, as well as genital warts. It is the cancerous and precancerous which are considered high risk, and those are specifically strains 16 and 18. Genital warts, although they are not considered high risk, certainly affect the patient's quality of life. The non-mucosal types are more commonly seen as just general skin warts. So cervical cancer, virtually all cases of cervical cancer are caused by high risk strains of HPV. As I said, the ones which affect mucosal cells, strains 16 and 18, and it is the third most common cancer in women worldwide, most commonly affecting women aged 20 to 50 years old. The American Cancer Society actually predicts that by the end of 2013, over 12,000 new cases of cervical cancer will be diagnosed, and 4,000 women will actually pass away due to cervical cancer. We'll probably have more accurate data early 2014, but these numbers are huge and definitely something that we need to, that brings attention to the topic as healthcare providers. So we specifically wanted to look at Hispanics as a target population. In the United States, the incidence of HPV is 64% higher among Hispanic women when compared to Caucasian women. Hispanic are actually the most common ethnic group to die from cervical cancer, and it's actually been found that they have a 40% greater risk of death due to cervical cancer. So reasons that these disparities could exist, there is concern among ethnic minorities that encouragement of the HPV vaccination during adolescence could encourage sexual activity. Regular pap smears and HPV screening have been shown to reduce death due to cervical cancer. However, Hispanics do have lower rates of screening. Racial and ethnic disparities in healthcare are fueled by social, political, and economic issues, and these inequalities commonly exist due to poverty, inadequate housing, unemployment, racism, and specifically lack of access to insurance coverage. So regarding prevention through vaccination, we currently have two vaccines available to protect against HPV. The first is Gardasil, that's probably the most advertised for, and that's manufactured by Merck Pharmaceuticals. That is available for females and also males as of 2009 for ages 9 to 26 years old. It provides prophylaxis for types 6 and 11, which are considered low-risk strains. They do cause 90% of genital warts, however, and also provides prophylaxis for strains 16 and 18. As I said before, those are the strains which affect mucosal cells and can lead to precancerous or cancerous cells. The second vaccine is Cervarix, and that is manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline, and that is only available for females aged 9 to 25 years old, and that provides prophylaxis for the high-risk strains 16 and 18. So regarding vaccine acceptance in Hispanic populations, these are two different studies, the red bullets, and they are not and this is not information from our own, but the first study found that 74% of Hispanics had heard of the vaccine, however, only 37% had actually had their daughters vaccinated, and the main theme for refusal was parental request for information. The second study found that Hispanics actually had a high willingness to vaccinate, approximately 80%, their daughters after they were provided more information about HPV. Refusals mostly were associated with a need for more information or the feeling that their daughter was too young to be vaccinated. So the main take home from these studies is that knowledge really can affect willingness to vaccinate. So this is Clinica Esperanza's mission statement. The two main bullets I really wanted to look at were emphasis on linguistically competent and culturally attuned care, as well as focus on prevention and health maintenance, which really coincided with our study. So our study objectives: the clinic currently serves over 2,000 residents of Oneville, Rhode Island. When we began the study, we actually only had about 400 to 500 patients, so it's really grown exponentially. Our patient population is 78% Hispanic, and we really wanted to identify misconceptions and where they, we really wanted to identify misconceptions regarding HPV, HPV vaccination, and cervical cancer, and where they originated from. We also wanted to improve vaccine acceptance by building a better patient-provider relationship from the understanding which we obtained. So our methods: we received IRB approval through the University of Rhode Island. We surveyed 100 participants of varying age, race, and gender. They were all active patients at the clinic, and they were recruited in the waiting room. We received informed consent from each patient. Patients were surveyed in a private room on their knowledge, attitudes, and practices regarding HPV, HPV vaccination, and cervical cancer. The survey was provided in English and Spanish. We serve a predominantly Spanish-speaking population with an intervention midway, which provided some information about HPV, risk factors, symptoms, vaccination, and ways to protect yourself. So our patient demographics: we surveyed a total of 100 patients. Our average age was about 40 years old. We surveyed predominantly females, and that was kind of a limitation. We really were trying to take as many patients as we could. It would have been nice if we could have done like a 50-50 female and male. We had 72% Hispanics, which also correlates with our 78% Hispanic population within the clinic. Less than 30% of our patients were married, over 60% had children, and 90% were sexually active or have had sex in the past. The average age of sexual debut or sexual onset was about 18 years old, a little bit older. The average number of sexual partners was about 4, and 51% of our participants used contraception. For our results, we found that Hispanics were less likely to have ever had an STI. They were also less likely to know how to protect themselves against STIs, and they were less likely to know where to get tested for STIs. And then lastly, Hispanics were less likely to know of at least one cause of cervical cancer. Although we had a small population size, we can infer from our statistics that although Hispanics were less likely to have ever had an STI, they also were less likely to know where to get tested for an STI, so this could potentially correlate. It really shows that there is a need for intervention. We also calculated these statistics using SPSS software. And in conclusion, our study was consistent with prior studies, finding that an understanding of HPV, the HPV vaccination, can help improve willingness and acceptability of the vaccine. Hispanic populations know less about STIs and HPV, and having at least a college education has been positively associated with awareness. In our population, we found that after a brief intervention, Hispanics were almost 100% willing to be vaccinated against HPV. And in the survey, patients were actually able to fill in reasons that they would want to be vaccinated if they were willing. And the main themes that we collected from their responses were protection and prevention. Patients really wanted to protect themselves against cervical cancer or other HPV-related cancers. They also wanted to protect themselves against genital warts. Again, although it may not be life-threatening, it certainly affects a patient's quality of life. They also wanted to prevent from acquiring the HPV infection altogether. So in the future, we would like to implement primary preventative interventions. I really liked the AAA method that Todd talked about. I think that's a great way to bring up the topic between providers and patients. And also by screening willing patients for HPV eligibility, we would like to eventually be able to provide free HPV vaccination at our clinic. And we'd like a special thank you to Dr. Annie DeGroot, who helped found the clinic, Tanya Medeiros and Shala Yeka, who could not be here, Julissa Baez, Dr. Jeffrey Batberg, who helped us analyze our data, and Paul Larratt, URI College of Pharmacy Dean, who helped us come here today, and Luz Betancourt and Ingrid Castillo, who helped us translate.